Okay, so today, related to yesterday's parsha, I want to speak about a Torah prohibition that is found in Parshas Maaseh officially, although that's not what it means. It says, Lo sachanifu es ha'aretz. It's in the context of murder, but the word chanifus in Hebrew is translated as flattery. And where is there an issue of flattery in halacha? So the relationship to yesterday's parsha will maybe start not at the beginning, just to see where it is. If you turn over the page, there's going to be a pasuk. And if you look on, this is in Maseches Sotah, Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis, the Gemara quotes, if you see Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omar Mehacha, so Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish quotes a pasuk from yesterday's parsha, Parshas Vayeshlach, Kiros Penei Elohim Vatirtzeni. What's the context? So Yaakov meets up with Esav, and he tells Esav, listen, I'd love to come with you, but we have a large family, and the kids are very slow, and they're very young. So why don't you go up, and you go ahead, and I'll eventually catch up to you. So, and when Yaakov sees Esav, so he says to him, seeing you is like seeing an angel, or like seeing God. So that's flattering. And Esav is no tzaddik. So the Mishnah here, as we're going to turn over the page in a moment, at the Mem Aleph and Aleph in Sota, is going to address this issue of Chanifus. There's going to be actually an episode where this happened. And the halacha, we'll see how this relates in the halacha lamasa. The Shaila actually was posed to Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe, and we'll get to that hopefully towards the end. The title of the Shaila in Orachayim in the second Chelek, Be'inyan Simon Nun Aleph, Be'inyan Lechabed Be'eze Kavod Be'beis HaKnesses, Le'echad Shehu Me'ovrei Avera, V'haravim Tzrichim Lo L'Rufua. It's time, many dinners are happening in the next couple of months. So you'd like to honor someone at the dinner, but you know the person's a Russian. The person's married to a non-Jew, but they're a doctor, he says here. People need him. And we'd like to show him the honor. This, in this context, is in shul. Can I give him, maybe I'm not going to give him an aliyah, but I'd like to give him psicha. I'd like to give him mahagbo galila or the like. Is that permitted? Is that considered flattery? But it seems that Yaakov was doing the same. So if you turn over the page, the context here is the mitzvah of hakel, which happens once every 7 years. And in this post Shemitah year, and it speaks about how the Melech would actually read from the Sefer Torah, from Sefer Devarim, in the Beis Hamikdash, and it says here in the Mishnah, Parshas Hamelech Ketzad, Motzei Yom Tov Arishon Shel Chag, it's the first day of Chol HaMoed, Bishmini, in the 8th year, which is B'motzei Shvius, which is the year after the Shemitah year, Osin lo bima shel eitz ba'azar, they actually would build for the Melech Yisrael a bima, a table, or a platform made out of wood in the Azara. V'hu yoshev aleha, one of the things we know about Malchus based David, you would, not even in the Kohen Gadol couldn't sit in the Azara. Everyone had to stand, but the Melech Yisrael was allowed to sit. Shne'emar miket sheva shanin b'moed parshas vayelech. Chazan HaKnesses notel Sefer Torah v'nostel l'Rosh HaKnesses. They take the Sefer Torah, give it to the, each one had a, these are different people who had different positions of authority. Nostel l'Sgan, which was the second to the Kohen Gadol, v'haskan nostel l'Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol nostel l'Melech. This was all to show great kavod, honor to the king. He's going to be given the Sefer Torah, and he's going to read from the Sefer Torah. V'hamelech omeid u'mekabel v'korei. So Vikori Yoshev. And the king would stand, he would accept the Torah while standing Vikori Yoshev, but he would read from the Torah sitting down. So we're going, the Mishnah now speaks about Agrippus HaMelech. He was a descendant of Herod, and at the time that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in his time, and he was one of the kings. And we're going to see, at least according to one understanding, that he was his father was not Jewish, his mother was Jewish, which certainly disqualified him from being a Melech Yisrael. And he went through the process. It was Hakel, so he's the Melech Yisrael, and he's going to read from the Torah. Agrippa Samelech Amad Vikibel Vikara Omed. And he read, he could have sat, it sounds like, but he read it standing. Vishibchu Chachamim, and the Chachamim praised him for the fact that he wanted to read the Sefer Torah standing. Ukshehigia lo suchalo seis alecha alecha ishnachri zolgu einav demos. When he got up to the pasuk that says you're not allowed literally to have a foreigner as a melech, that he has to be, that the parents both have to be Mizrael, have to be Jewish, he began to cry. He began to cry because he realized, if you look at Rashi, the first wide line, Shaham Zolgu Einav Demos, Shaham Mikra Hazeh Postlum and Amalchus, this pasuk invalidates him, disqualifies him from being a king. So he started crying. How could I be the Melech Yisrael? And the Chumash is the Chumash invalidates me. So what happened? Amulo. So what did the Chachamim say to him? What should they have said to him? They should have said, you know, it's true. The pasuk says that you're not permitted to be the Melech Yisrael, but we're happy that you feel a sense of remorse and all of that. But that's not what happened. They said, Al tisyari Agrippus, don't worry, don't be afraid. Achinuata, you're our brother. And they said that, why? Rashi says, She'imo mi Yisrael. He officially is Jewish. And therefore they felt that they had the right to say, no, you're our brother, you're permitted to be the king. Don't worry about it. So if you turn over the page, the Brice is not happy with the Chachamim did. If you look, I have it underlined. Ukshegil lo suchal aseis Tana, the Brisa teaches Mishmei Rabbi Nasan. It's the first thing that's underlined. Tana Mishmei Rabbi Nasan Baosa Shar Nischayvu Sone Yisrael Kalaya. At that moment, the Jewish people were actually Chayav Misa Shehechenifu Lola Agrippus, because they flattered Agrippus Hamelech. They shouldn't have done that. Well, all they're doing is, here's someone who's doing something wrong. And here they are supporting, lending support to what he's doing. They're praising him. So how could it be that they could do such a thing? Apparently this was wrong, and therefore they were punished for this Torah violation. So the question here is there any heter to do so? After all, take the example of Yaakov and Esau. So you look in the context of Yaakov, it sounds like Yaakov did the same thing. So Yaakov, it doesn't seem to have been Chayiv Misa, because he praised Esav, or he called him, looking at you is like being in the presence of a malach. So if you look on in the Gemara, where it's underlined, and the Gemara here, it says, I'm sorry, before it's on that, where it's bracketed, Darash Rabbi Yehuda bar Maravah, the Tamer Rishimim and Pazi, listen to this. Mutter lahachnif lorishoyim ba'olam haseh. This seems to be a dissenting opinion. That we're permitted to be machnif, we're permitted to flatter wicked people in this world. And he quotes a pasuk, and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar, mehacha from yesterday's parsha, kiros pnei Elohim v'atirtzeini. So it seems to be allowed. Upliga de Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi disagrees. De Amar Rabbi Levi, Mashal Shel Yaakov, Ve'esav, Lamaha Dover Dome. So watch carefully. So Yaakov here did not have in mind to flatter Esav. At least on the surface, or perhaps that was the perspective that he wanted Esav to have. But that's not what Yaakov's objective was at all. Watch what Yaakov's objective was by saying, you know, Esav, when I see your face, it's like seeing an angel. So watch this. He says, a person invited his friend, and he realizes, oh, he wants to kill me. So what do you do now to protect yourself? Amar lo, tam tavshil zeh, She'ani to'em kitavshil she'ta'amti b'veis ha'melech. He says, you know, the food that we have here, you know what it tastes like? It tastes like the meal, the food that I have when I go visit the palace of the king. So what does the person think? Amar, yada le malka, right? This guy clearly knows the king. Mistafi, he was afraid, velokatile, and he didn't kill him. Meaning what? What was Yaakov saying? The same way someone says this really tastes like, you know, I went on and visited the king. This is very much what they served me. This guy visits the king. Oh, I have to stay away. Be careful. If I kill him, I'm dead. So the same thing Yaakov said to Esav, he wasn't trying to flatter Esav. Maybe Esav thought he was flattered. Yaakov saying like, you know, when I see your face, it's like I'm seeing an angel. Now what does Esav think? This guy sees angels? All right, I better not kill him. So that's what Yaakov had in mind, and not at all was his intention to flatter Esav and violate this Torah prohibition. So that's Rabbi Lev's opinion. So in the Gemara, you seem to have the Mishnah. This Mishnah seems, and the Brisa here, that seems to lend some support to the fact that Agrippus, the Chachamim, who flattered Agrippus, did something wrong and they were punished for it. Or they should have been punished for it. And then a machlokes amoroim, whether or not this is acceptable or not. Some claim that it is. A person is allowed to be machanif, a rasha in this world. We have psukim to support it, to prove it. And Rabbi Levi, who disagrees, who takes that pasuk, no, out of context to some extent, and says this is what Yaakov actually had in mind. The Torah Tamima has a nice idea I saw yesterday. He says, what does it mean? What did Yaakov mean when he said, you know, seeing you is like seeing Elohim, is like seeing Hashem. So he says, like this, he says, assuming that this was flattery, this was praise, you have to realize the extent of the praise. When do we go up to see Hashem? We go up to see Hashem on the Shalosh Regalim. Who needs to see whom more? Hashem needs to see us, or we need to see him? So the answer is, we need to see him. He doesn't need to see us. He's happy if we come. But we need to come for us, for ourselves, not the Hashem needs us to be there. So he says the same thing here. When he says, you know, seeing you is like going up to see Hashem on Shalosh Regalim, which will happen in the future. What's that like? That's all about the fact that I am happy to see you. You don't necessarily need to see me. But for me, this is so chashuv, this is such a significant encounter that we have, that it's almost like going up Shalosh Regalim, comparing Esav almost to Hashem, and Yaakov comparing himself to the Jewish people. Okay, so the discussion about halacha lamaaseh practically, what the halacha is with respect to being machnif, emerges from the bottom tosis on this page. So in order to introduce the Tosis, just you need to be aware of one other Gemara. The Gemara here, does he tell you where it is? Gemara Nedarim, yeah. The Gemara Nedarim, Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, has the following story. Ula traveled to and from Eretz Yisrael, and there were two people who were following him from what the Gemara calls Bechozoi. They were two Jews. Didn't seem to be problematic to travel with them. And as Ula's walking, one Jew kills the other. And the one who's still alive, the murderer, says to Ula, did I do well? Right? What do you think about my slaughtering over here? So Ula makes some comment that basically says, yeah, you did a great job. I like that. That was you stabbed him up, the shechita, perfect. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, he was very upset. He had remorse that he had flattered a rasha. And he came to Rabbi Yochanan and was upset and wanted to know what Rabbi Yochanan felt about it. So that's the background to what Tosis is going to say. So take a look. Kalamachanif lachaveiro, yesh lefaresh, shelo b'makom sakana. Where does this apply? Where do we say that a person is not permitted to flatter another person, another Jew, someone who's a Russia, who's clearly doing something wrong? That's only where it's not a sakana, which means where you would not put your life in danger if I didn't praise that person. Avol b'makom sakana, mutter. But if it's a case of sakana, then it's mutter. Where do we have such a story? Ki ahi de perak arba nedarim, ula azal aru di Yisrael. Ula went to Eretz Yisrael, Lavu Bahadei Trei B'nei Chozoi, escorting him along with him went these two people from Chozoi, Kam Kad Shachde Lechavre, and one got up and slaughtered his friend, Amalei Ula, Yosavde, right? Did I do well? Amalei, in, yes, Upara Lo Beis Hashchita. It's a question what that means. He opened up the Beis Hashchita, he put something on it, whatever it was clear that he had supported that which he did. He also, l'kamei de Rabbi Yochanan, when he came to Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael, amar lei dilma chas v'shalom, ach, zakis yidei, over avera. Maybe here I was lending support to someone who did something wrong, Amale Rabbi Yochanan, nafshach itzalta. He says, don't worry, you were trying to save your life. So, that being the case, what happens when you have someone who, take Yaakov as an example. So Yaakov, one could argue that there's no raya Rabbi Levi could have given a different answer. There's no raya that that Yaakov was flattering Esav, and that was, therefore you see that you're allowed to be machnif reshaim ba'olam hazeh. Not necessarily at all. Could very well be he did it, and it was a makom sakana. Indeed, you could actually learn the machlokas here differently. You could say, when the Gemara says here, Rabbi Shon, that you're permitted to darash Rabbi Yehuda Bamarava, mutter la hachnif la rishoyim ba'olam hazeh, you could learn that that means you're allowed to do that only b'makom sakana, and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish is proving it from Yaakov, and Rabbi Levi, what Rabbi Levi could be doing, I'm not sure this is true, but you could say, what Rabbi Levi is coming to tell you is that you're not even allowed to do it b'makom sakana, which means I'm going to reinterpret what Yaakov said, and I'm going to show that even b'makom sakana, it's not allowed. That, in fact, seems to be a debate that the poskim have. There is an opinion that to be machnif a rasha, to be machnif a rasha, may not be permitted even b'makom sakana. Tosis takes a stand that it's not an issue. So I want to introduce you to a comment of the Maharshal. In the Yamshel Shlomo and Bava Kama, so the Gemara here in Bava Kama, Lamid Ches, let me see if I can just give you a little background to it, shorthand. The Gemara here, there were a group of Romans, Malchus Romi, sent two officers to the Chachamim. And they asked them, why don't you teach us some of your Torah? So in fact, this is on Daf Lamed Ches. It's a very famous Gemara where they use it to discuss whether or not you're allowed to teach Torah to non-Jews. But that's not our issue. They taught Torah. You have to justify that in some way. But they went through many, many laws. And one of the things that they said was that they discussed the halacha of an ox goring another ox, where the halachos between Jew and Jew and Jew and Gentile are actually different. And they said, listen to the language that the Roman officers said. They said, "Diknaktu b'chol taraschem ve'emesu." We look through your whole Torah, and the whole Torah is emes. Chutz midavar sha'atem omrim, except that which you said, "Shor shel Yisrael, shanagach shor shel Kanani." Potter, that if a Jew owns an ox and it gores an ox of a non-Jew, you're exempt. And shel Kanani shenagach shor Yisrael, but if a Gentile shor kills a shor of a Yisrael, bein tam bein muad mishalim nezek shalom, you have to pay full damages. So they said that already we're not we're unable to accept. So what do you see from this Gemara? So listen to this. The Maharshal says, that was very strange. These are Roman officers. They weren't afraid to say that if you guys would come and gore our animals, you have to pay full. But if we would gore yours, it would kill yours, we don't have to pay. They weren't afraid. Why didn't they, make up something? So listen to the Maharshal. V'lomo lo yaru chachamim shetalil malchus harshalayim. This is a potential for libel. How is it possible? Halalotim tzadavar kasheh kazeh lomar b'fnei ha'umo sh'anachnu p'tur mehezeken. What worse thing could you say to a Gentile that, by the way, if we would damage you, we don't have to pay? By the way, it's a whole question whether that's really true. I want to just make that point. But why would you do that? And yet, behem chayavim, they have to pay when they damage us. Shvichi lo ha hayaroi lachush chaser shalom lekama shamdos v'chorvos delefik minei, says the Yamshel Shlomo. Shouldn't we be concerned about what could possibly happen, the persecution that could result because they said this? And b'prat malchus harasha, these are the Romans. You're not afraid of them. So listen to this. They should be Mishana. They should have changed it. They should have said, they could have said like this, O Shneim Chayavim, O Shneim Pturim. You know, make it simple. Either when we gore you, you gore us, we're both exempt. Or we gore you, gore us, you're chayav. You're held liable. Elishma Mina, listen to this, says the Maharshal, Shemechuyavim Anu Limsor Al Kiddush Hashem. We have to be Moser Nefesh and give our lives to Mimikadesh Shem Shamayim. What does that mean? If they would change the halacha and publicize that, it's as if they are denying the Torah's Moshe. That would be Yehore Val Yavu. Absolutely would not be allowed. So why wouldn't they change the halacha? Because they're not allowed. They would have to give their lives. There would be no right for them to paskin incorrectly merely because they wanted to save their lives. So now, hold on one second. Well, let's see. Are there take the case of Ula for a moment. Wouldn't this be an argument on Tosus? What happened in the case of Ula? Ula said, what happened? You had a Jew murdered another Jew. So what Ula says, you did it, there's a nice shechita you did over there. How's he allowed to say that? According to the Maharshal's interpretation of the Gemara here in Bava Kama Lamed Ches, that's not permitted. How could you possibly support something that's against Torah's Moshe? Torah's Moshe says that a Jew killed a Jew, you're chayav misa for that. You're not allowed to do that. So how do you explain that? So keep in mind that the case of Ula may have an additional piece to it. Why do I say that? Because the case of Ula is actually a case of Ritzicha. Why is Ritzicha unique? So watch this. Ever think about what the problem is with being machzik over Avera? What the problem is with Chanifus? What is the issue exactly? A Russia does something, he's doing something wrong, and I say, we give you, we'll honor you, we'll praise you, don't worry, what you're doing is fine. What's the problem with that? So because I say that, I'm a from guy, he probably thinks, I'm going to continue doing it. If I would say something, I give him a little rebuke, there's a chance maybe he'll stop. But instead, I am now serving as almost the impetus for him to continue doing so. So if he now, watch this, if this Jew realizes that Ula says, hey, that was a good shechita, I like that, what's he going to do now? He's going to kill someone else. And shvichas dam and murder is one of the big three. You have to give your life for. So what Ula may have been concerned with, and Rav Moshe explains this a little bit, is that he thought that this may have been part of the entire Yehoreg Val Yavor of Shvichas Damim. Maybe I should have given my life and allowed that person to kill me if I would have said to him, hey, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because by being machzik over Yavor, saying, hey, that was a good shechita, I like what you did to that guy, I'm causing him to do murder again. That may not be allowed. Now, maybe if a guy was eating treif and I was afraid for my life, maybe I could say, you can continue eating that cheeseburger. There's no problem with that at all. Why? I want to save my life. Do I have to give my life for basar b'chalav? No. So I don't have to give my life for chanifus related to basar b'chalav. And then tosus makes sense. But here, there's an additional issue, which is maybe yehareg val yavor. Right, so here's a sakana in a case that may have been Yehoreg Val Yavor, or at least as part of Yehoreg Val Yavor. Obviously, Ula's not killing anybody, but maybe he's causing another Jew to be killed based on what he said. So listen carefully to what Rav Moshe says to distinguish between the case of Yaakov and Ula and all the cases we have of Chanifus in general and giving a guy the Aliyah or giving him Psicha and the case here in Bava Kama. Had Ula said this, the guy came over to him and said, by the way, I would like to kill this other Jew, he's annoying. Now Ula already sees that this is a very scary person, and he's afraid for his life. So what does he say? Don't worry, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed to kill him. No problem at all. That would have been prohibited. Why? Because that's the Gemara Bava Kama Lamed Ches. What the Chachamim were doing were giving a psak halacha. When you give a psak halacha, you have to tell the truth. And if you don't, that's kofar b'toras Moshe. And for that, you have to give your life al kiddush Hashem. Because that's the emes of the Torah. You can't deny the emes of the Torah. That's the difference. He says, this is the language of Moshe uses. He says, Ulechein hayamakom lomar. Therefore, it was okay to say, Sha'af lomar laharash shiyos avad. That's okay. He's like, you did good. Vatam. Listen to this. Why is that okay? Oh, that's an ashkita you did over there. Kevan she'eino omer shehu mutter. He didn't say it's mutter what you did. Ela sha'oz yos avad. He did well. That was a good shkita. Ein baze amira shehu davar mutter. It's not saying I'm giving you a psak that that's okay. Ela hakavana af al pishu davar asur sha'asra Torah. Meaning, no, I don't deny that there's something wrong with what you did. That's absolutely asur. Lo mizalzo lo bishvil kach mishum sheyos avad ledas anashim kamohu. Listen to what he's saying. People of ill repute like you, people who are rishonim like you, that's a nice murder you just did. That's what he was really saying. Behind what he was saying was, was that a good shechita? So what Ula was really saying was, for people like you who murder, that was an excellent shechita. Yeah, it was. You did a good job. But not that I'm being matiri. Yaakov is saying, Yaakov, what's he doing? He's saying, seeing you, Esav, is like a malach. Okay. Did Yaakov say anywhere, oh, you're allowed to come with 400 men and threaten my life? Yaakov's life was threatened all the way back in Parshas told us. That was okay. And all the things you did and the women you married and all of that. Let me give him a psak halacha that that's okay. He's merely saying, looking you and seeing you is like seeing a malach, and that's okay. What about Agrippa HaMelech? So Agrippa HaMelech, let's see, what happened there? So here we had a pasuk. Now you could see what's happening there in the Gemara. They said, here he read a pasuk, and the pasuk said what? The pasuk said, you can't be the king. And they said what? They said, don't worry, achinu ata. That already you could debate. The Gemara that said they were chayav sonem shel yishol misa, because klaya, because of what they said, one could make the argument that that's akin to the Gemara in Bava Kama Lamed Ches, where they basically said he read a pasuk in the Chumash, and they said, no, you're achinu ata. But he's not. But he's not achinu ata. He's not achinu for the purposes of being a melech. Absolutely not. He's an ishnachri, so how can you give him a psak halacha like that? So that may be the difference between the two cases. That being this case, says Rav Moshe at the end of his tshuva, I think we found possibly a heter for the following. The imkain, gam lechabdo bipsichas uskiras aron. Even to honor such a person, this is a doctor who's married to a non-Jewish woman, but they need this person. He is very helpful. If they don't give him, he comes into shul and they don't give him any kibbutz at all, so it could be that he's going to say goodbye to the Jewish community. To do psicha, she'ein baze inyan sheker, nami, right? There's no sheker here. There's no sheker. I didn't say, oh, the woman you're married to, that's okay. Ula yesh eze isi mitzar chanufa. Maybe you'd say there's an issue of chanufa. Aval kevan she'ein isuro barur. The yoser notes she'ein baze Israel malatova. He says, yesh lahakel, the things you can be naked. So here's something to consider. You have psak halacha, which is not allowed. That's certainly not allowed. You have to give your life for that. You now have chanifus. What do I do with chanifus? Well, chanifus, I don't have to give my life for chanifus. But if there's a sakana, so then I have to be concerned. You go to Agrippa HaMelech. Since Agrippa HaMelech, there are two ways to view Agrippa HaMelech. One is what we said, which is, one which we said, Agrippa HaMelech, is that they gave him a psak halacha that was erroneous. Possibility number two is that, no, they didn't say what you're doing is mutter. They said achinu ata, but maybe in that case it was okay because of sakana. Chanifus, that wasn't a psak that was wrong. That was chanifus, but that was okay because there was sakana. And for sakana, since they weren't giving a psak, it would have been acceptable. Two ways to understand what happened with Agrippa HaMelech. Here in our case, so now hold on. If this is chanifus, is their life a danger? This community. If we don't give this doctor, we don't give him an aliyah, or we don't give him psicha, would we say that this is a sakana? I don't know. Interesting. Would you say that, well, he's healing so many people, we need him to help the community. Maybe that's a quasi-sakana. Or maybe you could say that even giving him psicha, does it even fall into the category of chanifus? Why? Because what's flattery? Flattery is where, oh, I praise, what you did is great, oh, you look like a malach, I like the way you killed that guy, and all of that. I don't do anything. There's no relationship between the psicha he's getting and the non-Jewish woman he's married to. So maybe that would not even be in the category of Hanifa. So different ways to understand the case of Agrippus and the case of Yaakov. But back to Yaakov, once again, Yaakov certainly had the right to say what he said. According to Rabbi Levi, he didn't even mean what he said. And certainly based on Tosus' comment about Sakana, Yaakov certainly had the right to give a little bit of Hanifus in order to protect himself. Okay? Stop here. Thank you. Okay. Have a good day.